Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Yeah, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, and it is indeed a football Friday. Hope your Friday is going well to this point. If you're getting off work a little early, especially if you're in the Katy area, an opportunity to make it go really well, join the fellas of the drive today. It'll be Bajani and B. Scott out at Pop Stroke out in Katy. That's going to be the event. Actually, join me, too. I'm going to go out there because this is the miniature golf spot that is designed by Tiger Woods. I would like to get my Tiger Hoods on, if you so please. And I'm going to go get me my Area 45 commemorative Football Friday pint glass with obviously it'll have Bajani and PC and Santiago's faces on them. This will be the first opportunity that you'll have to finish out the entire collection of the four different shows here on Sports Radio 610. So obviously come out, enjoy fellowship. There's obviously still ways to win, right? There's going to be giveaways and stuff that are out there, but you got to be present at Pop Stroke in Katy. Go see the fellas. All right. Talking more about this Texans team, what do you believe about this offense? Because the question I have here, John Lopez, does this feel like, I think we feel like the Titans team coming in is so poor that you should win this football game,
yes,
right?
Well, we both, you know, spoiler alert, yes, I think the Texans are going to win despite it all.
What are the chances that this could be a jumpstart type game?
See, I think that's the key to the whole game. What are the chances? Whew.
That's
a tough question.
Because
that really is a tough question.
There's a few things that that I've taken in. Obviously, we're all taking in all sorts of information. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're in a place where the Texans have annoyed you to the place where you're minimizing your Texas intake, which, honestly, va con Dios, I understand where you're at. But Nate Tice, fantastic football writer, writes for Yahoo Sports. He does the Football 301 podcast for them as well. Wrote about three offenses that are struggling. Teams that you thought would be playoff locks that are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and your Houston Texans. And what he talked about with the Houston Texans, obviously, was this offense, but also the offensive line. He started by talking about the fact that this team is bad on early downs. They're bad at running the football. Actually, let me give you the stats. Let me start again.
Yeah.
Running back. Bad on early downs because... and then they're also bad on late downs. Their 24% third down conversion rate is last in the league, mm-hmm. DFL, as you like to say. Bad at running the football because they're last at success rate in the NFL. Bad in the red zone, 0% touchdown rate, obviously only four instances. 24th in penalties. And obviously CJ Stroud has had a lot of pressure, hasn't been able to stay upright. I feel like there's a few of those that I imagine you have an opportunity to dig a little bit of your way out of in this game.
Penalties?
Penalties obviously is already there. I think that's the obvious one that any given week you should be able to dig yourself out of. We're waiting for that to happen. I think early downs, well, really running the football is probably first and foremost.
Yeah.
This is a Titans team that's not great at stopping the run. Mm-hmm. They do have Jeffrey Simmons in there, but I'm not afraid of the outside linebackers that they have, you know, Draymond Jones or anybody that they have on the outside. If you decide to run that way, if there's anything like some power that you might end up running, or if you bounce out off of a split zone outside, I'm not afraid of them stopping the run there. And even then, I feel like if you do it right, you get your hat on the hat, this should be a game where you're able to create avenues to run in. I think you might be able to help yourself running the football here.
No, if I had to Sean Pendergast power rank where I think they can be corrected, I would say penalties one, probably run on early downs two, or run
Well, early downs in general, they're just bad. Like, yeah. It's not just running, right?
No, I know, but run in general, those would be my top two. The one that worries me, and it kind of goes back to how you asked the question initially. You know,
what are the chances that this could be a jump start?
Right, because I could very easily see the Texans win the game, and we're sitting here on Monday going, man, you know, I still don't know. You know, I still don't know because of the offense. And, you know, maybe the defense gets a couple more turnovers than they had, in this game.
Which I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah. Because I was going back and forth mm-hmm. on this. You saw me physically do this, go back and forth. I look like the Larry David meme from mm-hmm. Curb Your Enthusiasm, because on one side, Cam Ward has dealt with a lot of pressure, and this is a team in the Texans on their with their pass rush. They can get pressure. In fact, they can still get relatively home mm-hmm. a decent amount. Will Anderson Jr. has a sack in each of these games. Yeah. Right? He can get home. But so, like, this is a rookie under pressure. In theory, you think turnovers are going to come. He only has one interception to this point.
Yeah,
I do wonder if he's going to continue to hold the ball and just take sacks. But is it possible that you jumpstart that aspect of it, the turnovers, because you only have the, you know, the Azeez Al-Shaair forced fumble, and then mm-hmm. you have the Jalen Petrie interception, which mm-hmm. was really a poor throw by Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, I think Monday we could be just slapping our foreheads going, man, that was a nice win, but, you know, the offense is bad, and I think the defense, we could feel better if they start to get some of those turnovers. The other thing that would worry me, and that I really want to see, is red zone efficiency.
Yeah. Well, red zone attempts at all.
Yeah.
Like, get into the red zone.
Get into the red zone and snap the ball because they are zero for everything in the red zone. And that to me is going to be alarming if they still have trouble with that.
Correct.
Because we know the Titans are not real good. And if you get into the red zone and the field is shorter, as everybody else talks about, and the lanes are smaller and all that, and you still can't get, impose your will enough to get a touchdown in the red zone, then I think we're going to have big issues. So, yeah, I think some things are going to be corrected, but I also feel like we could be sitting here shaking our heads again.
No, it's 100% the case. I think you're right in that regard. When I start thinking about it, I think one of the things that I'm hoping to see corrected, and maybe it's NFL, they get paid too, right? Mm-hmm. The slightly lesser challenge of a Titans versus some of the other teams that you've seen. I really hope that I see this offense start to show that, at least, even if I don't love the offense, that these guys are looking like they know it. Can I take you to Nick Caley here, Byron? Yeah. Can you help me out? This is a cut 12 from Nick Caley talking to the media yesterday. He was asked about the route spacing and how you end up with, you know, some instances of guys overlapping. So, like, what's the communication like, especially with Ben McDaniels, the passing game coordinator, with things of that nature?
I think it's collectively for our entire staff. It's not, you know, pinpointed to one person. Relative to spacing, you know, like we're never trying to stack receivers on top of each other. Are there times with choice routes and in zone coverage where guys can move and adjust and maybe it appears that way? Sure. But we're always trying. The biggest thing, to zone coverage and running routes is having depth and spacing, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think we have an egregious problem by any stretch. Are there some where you turn on the film and you go, well, why is this guy drifting maybe inside closer to a hook player, or there's a base it coming behind him? Maybe. Okay. But again, that's going to happen in terms of some zone distribution and where guys have spatial awareness and stuff like that from time to time. But I don't believe we have any major issue in terms of spacing. Is there things that come up from time to time? There might certainly be. But we build a set, you know, we build our passing game together as a staff. I don't see any consistent problems in terms of the spacing that you're referring to.
He was copping a lot of pleas there. But
oh my God.
If you are to be believed, this feels like a game where, again, 3 weeks under your belt, another week with Christian Kirk on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see less of those things. In fact, I want to see all those that kind of, you know, if it's option routes and making the wrong decisions for those wide receivers, I want to see those go away.
I was mind blown with those answers. Do we do it? Yes. Are there problems? No. Wait, what?
Well, at some point, I almost felt gaslit. You know, there's some times where it might seem that way.
I was like, does it happen? Of course it does.
Not them dudes are in the same general area.
Is it a problem?
You got one defender that feels like they can cover both of them in that zone, so that's problematic. Yeah, no, I need to see that clean. Because, again, the concepts are established concepts. So mm-hmm. you should not end up with dudes in the same area. If it's these guys need to have a better grasp of what's happening, you got another week, they better show it.
Yeah, and well, I mean, does he have another week? This week is it.
Well, no, I'm saying this was another week.
Yeah, I feel as if what I really want to see and feel on Sunday is not as if I'm not sure he's capable of doing it.
We're not.
I just want him to be like, okay, I see some adjustments. Because they have made some adjustments conceptually. They ran the ball. They threw the ball more. They ran Woody Marks a little more. They tried to get the ball to Nick Cale, they tried to get
Nico Collins,
a little more.
It took me a second to figure out where you were going, too.
But is that's conceptual. That's not like X's and O's. I want to be able to see some routes, some blocking schemes, some planning of drives, which is always something that, you know, you can see the good coordinator who saw it last night, mixing this up with that so the defense is on its heels, you know, depending on what personnel you have on the field, you know, setting up the next two plays, not just the next play. I know they've tried to conceptually change things. I don't know if he's capable of to actually change the plan.
And yeah, you know? I think as much as the game plan and we're going to put guys in the right place, the other thing that Nate Tice talked about, and he's 100% right, we've all talked about this, personnel's got to be, decisions have got to be better. Mm-hmm. Put the explosive guys on the field.
Yeah, the young guys.
Right.
Jalen Nolan in particular.
Those are the things where I go, all right, those are the opportunities that you have to get this offense moving in the right direction and possibly jumpstart anything here. Because, look, well, you've been on the side of the road too long. They're going to come tow you.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean when I say that, right? Get this thing going. Get this thing moving in a positive direction sooner rather than later. I wanted to circle back around to how you feel about Arriante. Well, really, this line in general. But how do you feel about Arriante Ursary right now? Because, like, the line is the thing that with all of this, we're like, yo, that is what it is, and you can't change it. I saw a graphic from the 33rd team that took an average of pressure rate, sack rate, and time to throw and trying to combine that into pass protection rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Texans are rank out of 32 teams in the NFL?
In all three of those combined?
Yeah, with this nebulous combined metric. And look, I understand. I'm already doing some things.
No, I get it. It's who you are.
It's obscure. Well, it's not my stat. I'm just using this. But it's pretty obscure as to how all these things come together. But
I would say the bottom 20s.
17th.
Oh, really?
So, like, there's at least one thing that you would be able to look at and say, well, hey, they're mediocre, as had been asked, was the possibility. Do you believe that? Does it feel that conceptually?
No, absolutely it doesn't feel that way. You may mention Ursary. You know, they actually were asked about him and the positions that he was in as well this week. I can't bash on Ursary because they put him in this position. It's unfair to put him in this position. Andy Kalu said something very similar. He sees some potential there. I'm not giving up on him, I think is what he said. But I feel like this also speaks back to, going back one more step, to Nick Caserio and the development of the line. We're not going to go in there right now. But what I'm saying is Ursary I'm not necessarily worried about unless it just continues to fester and get worse.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, out of 3 weeks, I think week one, he was pretty solid, but he had those lapses.
Sacks, yeah.
Week two, he looked pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And then week three, he had Josh Hines-Allen on his ass.
Yeah.
How does that come back in week four? Can he stack a good one on top? I think that he can, especially because, again, I'm looking at these outside linebackers, and I'm not really terrified of them, but we'll see what it looks like. And, I mean, Sebastian Joseph Day at defensive end might have, I mean, I think that's probably going to be more of a guard problem, but we'll see if that ends up working against him at all. So yeah, I think I'm going to be watching Tay a good amount as well. Obviously, the interior of the offensive line is all encompassing is going to be something that's going to be a focus. But I'm interested to watch that, especially because there are some things that you could add up and go, actually, it hasn't been nearly as bad. And that probably takes more of the responsibility and places it on Nick Caley to get some things.
Well, and you keep talking about, like, you know, how are we going to feel with the win? I think there's a little Diana Russini report factor here, you know, because this is the third week in a row in which D'Amico Ryans has said, we've got to fix the penalties. We've got to get to the line quicker. We've got to get in and out. The process has to be faster on the field, and it hasn't happened. So if it doesn't happen again, I think you can kind of point to maybe that's the issue, you know, coach, an offensive staff or coach and Nick Caley. That's the number one thing I want to see is the lack of penalties and just crispness and a little more creativity from Nick Caley.
Man, people are not excited going into this game. There's a lot of not frustration. In the least bit. Is anyone excited going into this game? Like, is there any excitement? 713-572-4610. Because I see frustration. I've seen, you know, like the 713. Texans offense has been bad for 10 years. Ain't changing this week. From the 832, if we don't put up 40, I'm shaking my head. Mm-hmm. There's a number of people calling for people's heads.
Of course.
And then there was one more that I wanted to get to. From the 832. I hope they lose.
What?
So they can clean house.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Whew, I don't know. Again, you know, you never hope for someone to lose their job like that, but you can see where it would happen. You could absolutely see where it would happen.
Yeah, this one feels if you do not perform in the way that you need to. Again, we have a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Diana Rossini kind of teasing that there's things happening behind the scenes, whether it's, you know, D'Amico Ryan's basically just saying we're all in this together. That's been the mantra, which feels like it's not a response to nothing. And then just clearly, you've had some things that have been deeply ineffective that are hampering your ability to be as good as you should have been coming into the season. Man, it's a wild place to be. Somebody said I'm more excited for the Aggies. Only excited because Cam graduated from my high school. Oh, wow. No excitement whatsoever.
Yeah, shout out to, was it Angleton somewhere down there? Cam Angleton. Warden.
Isn't he, and of course, as soon as I'm going to say it, wasn't it West Columbia?
West Columbia. He's from down there. That's in the Angleton area.
You're just going to be wrong. That's
no.
Hilarious. B. Scott, not excited. No promise. Where are you going to be looking to try and find some entertainment value or excitement in this game?
Oh, I think it's going to be a captivating game. Entertaining? I'll let you know. Columbia High School in West Columbia near Angleton.
He just keeps putting near Angleton in there as if that's going to make him right. You could be wrong. It's fine.
No, I understand that. I absolutely understand that. Entertaining is an interesting question.
I think. I haven't mentioned his name today, but we've talked about him. Elik Iyemonur, I still go back to that Stanford game that they had against Colorado where he put up 200-plus yards against Travis Hunter, and they were just dogfight back and forth. I'm interested to see him and if he's looks to be that guy, and obviously if the Texans can shut that down.
Yeah.
That's crazy because thinking about it, there's not something that – oh, well, and then, of course, it's Nico Collins, right? The opportunity for him to go and shut up L'Jarius Sneed. Who probably shouldn't have been talking in the first place. But yeah, as you think about it, there's not a lot of things right now that are like genuinely
like excited.
Maybe trying to see.
Intrigued.
Seeing the ends go off, right? Seeing Will and Danielle.
Turnovers, maybe defense doing their
possibly.
Thing.
Possibly. This is just work, man. Mm-hmm. Like this is for the Texans. Actually, for us as well.
Yeah.
But for the Texans, y'all just got to get in here and work. Like this might not even be fun for them on the field.
Yeah.
You just got to go and work because right now that's what's necessary. To dig this thing out. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Wanted to remind you, at 2, you want to make sure that you're out at Pop. Of course, I said it. I was Pop Stroke. There we go. Took me a second to come back to it. Pop Stroke out there in Katy, 23110. What is the address? 23110. I do know that is where you're going. It is Grand Circle Boulevard. There you go, in Katy. Go out and see the fellas. That is B. Scott and Bajani holding down the drive today. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, about the time where I typically turn things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. Fig's out today, so I'll be handling the duties of the mixtape. And yesterday he gave you the friendliest cities in America. What about the unfriendliest cities in America? We'll do that. And a reminder of why college football is so damn weird. We'll do all that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed, it is the mixtape in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm not Figgy Fig, Reginald Atatula, John Lopez, obviously riding side saddle with me, and appreciation of Byron Matthews on the ones and twos, keeping us on the air. Figgy Fig took a day off, but it's not just a rest day. He always likes supporting the community. Think about the babies. He was at Kids Meals.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. So. Just know that Fig, he doesn't just talk about it. He bees about it in a way, right? He is out there supporting Kids Meals because it's a good thing to do, and Fig is that real. Yesterday during the mixtape, though, Figgy did bring us a list of the nicest, right, cities.
Mm-hmm. Friendliest.
Friendliest, there we go. Yeah. It feels like the same thing, but I think I get what you're saying. That is fair to make that that clarification. And in there, I think the cities were as follows. You had San Diego.
I'm not looking at your list because I
San Diego, California was number one. Mm-hmm. Raleigh, North Carolina was two. Phoenix was number three. Miami was four. Your great city of Houston came in five, the fifth friendliest city in the United States. Honolulu, Boston, San Jose, Minneapolis, and Denver rounded out the top 10. So there.
And we were good with that.
I thought so.
For the most part, yeah.
I felt good with it. I thought that made sense. Well, today I bring you the unfriendliest cities in these United States. This is actually a top eight list of the least friendly cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a survey, obviously, just following up, that asked residents to rate their own cities on how friendly they are. And we're looking for the least friendly cities in these United States. John Lopez, would you like to play? Also, Byron, did you want to jump in here at all?
Nah, I already seen the list, so.
Oh, okay.
I have not.
Yeah, and, so it's all you, Lopez.
Just ruined it.
And I wanted to play this game, and obviously it's always your personal experience, or at least from what you heard of, you know, a friend or a relative or whatever that has, you know, relayed these messages about cities. I'm going to say I could be dead wrong on all these. Just my personal experience where I'm like, eh. Detroit, in no particular order.
Detroit is on the list.
It is.
That is number four, Detroit, Michigan.
All right, so I'm not too far off.
Why'd you go with Detroit?
It's kind of cold and spread out.
Oh, so everybody's going to be mad because they're cold?
Well, no, not like literally cold, just kind of a cold vibe. Downtown is just now kind of starting to get revitalized.
Yeah, they had a lot of white flight.
Yeah, a lot.
Sent people out to the suburbs. They're just now coming back to the city center.
The neighborhoods, and this is nothing about like, oh, it's dangerous or whatever. I'm talking about just friendliness. People just kind of keep to their own neighborhoods or whatever. So Detroit would be one.
You got number four.
Detroit. This one might be a surprise, but I've always felt this every time I've traveled there. Salt Lake City.
No Salt Lake City. But I mean, we have the rumors of like you think about the Jordan flu game, the pizza supposedly being a part of that.
Yeah, and it's not even I hate Salt Lake City because of the Rockets
I do.
And all that
Believe
stuff.
Them.
Yeah, but it's just not a real friendly city. Yeah, just sort of, I don't know what it is. And they got that funky 3.1 beer and all that, and you have to sign up as a club member in order to go into a bar and all this other stuff. I'm going to throw a couple out there, then I want to hear your list.
Okay.
A couple more. So Detroit, Salt Lake City, my personal experience. Believe it or not, because once you're at the parks, it's like, you know, a candy land.
Oh, are you going to say Orlando?
Orlando. Orlando's not a friendly city.
Huh.
It's just everybody in Orlando has gotten there in the last 25 or 30 years, and they don't want to deal with anybody else.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it's just like it's a perpetual tourist city.
It's a bunch of strip malls.
And they're like, why are all of you here?
Yes. Yes. Orlando would be there. And then the other one, San Francisco is not real friendly.
San Francisco does not come up on this list, but San Bernardino, California is on this list, which is not the same area, but I did want to highlight that. They are third.
So what else?
All right, so on this list, I'll go bottom to top. Number eight on this list, Seattle, Washington.
That's because of the rain. I like Seattle. But
I mean, this is about friendliness, man.
It's a gloomy place.
Okay.
You think it rains a lot in Houston?
I don't think it rains a lot in Houston comparatively.
I don't know if this is still true, but for a while there, Seattle had the highest suicide rate in the country, mostly because it's gloomy and rainy.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
The time.
Yeah. Yeah. When I used to be an office worker in high school, the woman I used to work for, she actually used to live in Seattle, and she actually told me about that because my parents are from New Orleans, but before moving to Houston, it was either Houston or Seattle.
Yeah.
But my mom also said, like, there not being a lot of sun, that's why she also chose
Houston.
Yeah,
it's kind of a gloomy place. Beautiful when it's sunny.
So Seattle is eight. Atlanta, Georgia, seven. Interestingly, no.
I don't buy that one. I've had good times in Atlanta. Good people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting seeing a southern city on here. Sacramento, California, 6, which honestly, sure.
Every time I got to Sacramento, maybe this is an indication, I left as soon as I could. I would always, like, whenever we'd, I'd cover games in Sacramento, I'd go to Reno. I'd go trout fishing Truckee, near Truckee, Nevada.
I'll take your word for it, because I had never heard that place in my life. Yeah. But I imagine how many of those people in Sacramento want to be there themselves. So how much nice can they get?
I'm good with that one.
They watch the Kings every year. So
obviously, Los Angeles, California at 5.
I could buy that one.
It's a real separated city. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's either in cars or whatever. Mm-hmm. Detroit, we already mentioned. San Bernardino, California, I mentioned. New Orleans, Louisiana at 2.
Get out of here.
They know how to throw a party. I don't know.
They're welcoming.
Yeah, but I don't know.
They are welcoming people.
Although, don't go to the wrong place, New Orleans.
That's every city.
Yeah, but New Orleans got it in a different way, brother. And then finally, Wichita, Kansas, interestingly enough.
Wow.
Scored the lowest in the nation for friendliness, which I imagine that they just got sick of y'all talking about ain't no place like home. I'll fight you.
That feels like the writer just hates Wichita or had a bad experience. Like, you have these great big...
Remember, this is voted on by a survey. Okay. This was a survey that happened here. So, yeah, I was surprised. There's a couple of these that I did not necessarily anticipate. Yeah, Wichita, Kansas, man. I didn't realize that their dot was big enough to be even included in this. But there you go. That's the least friendly city in the nation.
Oh, man.
It is in, or it's the mixtape right here in the loop. I did want to go back to this because somebody was asking this. I'll sprinkle a little Texas in here. They said the game is against the terrible Titans team. They're not good. How can you judge improvements against a bad team? I do think that it's less about improvements, more just like proof that they can do some of these things. Because some of these things we just haven't seen. So can you do some of these things against the worst possible opponent? Because if you can't, then I have very little belief that you can do it against any of the other opponents. Talk less of your week 5 opponent being checks notes, Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, man. So let me ask you about that, though, about, what the quote texter was asking. I totally agree. It's not so much... All you want to do is be serviceable as a team. That's all you want to see, you know? You don't necessarily need anything spectacular or that. Just be serviceable.
Yeah. All right. So college football is such a wild place. Like you said, it's our international soccer. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they do things wild. You've seen it. You've seen the scenes of some soccer stadium
with
smoke and fighting. College football is our American version of that. We get, like you said, mentioned message boards. We get, all sorts of crazy things. And this was just a reminder. It feels like we do this, by the way, like once every couple of weeks or so, every few weeks, we get a reminder of just how wild college football is. So the University of Oklahoma, obviously, they've got a good football team right now, and they're really reveling in it. You're familiar with John Mateer, right?
Mm-hmm. Was the Heisman leader.
He was quarterback of Oklahoma, transfer from Washington State, if memory serves, and he's been good. Like, he's been leading them in rushing. He's throwing the football up and down. But he had an injury. He had an injury to his hand, and so he needed to have surgery. And so just yesterday, he sent a tweet that said, "Thank God for a successful procedure. Dr. Shin is the GOAT. Boomer Sooner."
Mm-hmm.
So just so you understand how crazy college fans can be, there have been college football fans of the Oklahoma Sooners on the practice that Dr. Shin runs. They have been adding various different, they've been reviewing his surgical center.
Yeah.
And giving it 5 stars and putting Boomer Sooner and all sorts of loving messages there. And then there's been something like this gentleman whose name is Carson Grain, who apparently went to Cedars-Sinai Orthopedic Center there in Los Angeles where the surgery was done. And he gave us a little bit of video of what he did out there. This is a little bit of audio from it of Carter Green taking a gift to the doctor of this.
Hi, good morning. I have an appointment today. My friend John's coming in to get a surgery today with Dr. Stephen Shin. Is he here in this office?
This is Dr. Shin's office.
Okay, great. I was wondering if I can drop off something for the doctor. Is that possible? Just like a little gift.
Yeah.
Right there.
This is so cute.
It's just
for... Okay, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
Who's the patient?
John. His name is John. Yeah.
All right, guys, so as you can see, dropped off a little gift for the doctor just to make sure that he knows that we are thinking of him. We're counting on him. We know he's going to do some great work today. I'll put a little picture right here so you can see what the gift was. But overall, vibes are high today in Los Angeles. Couldn't ask for anything better. Once again, this is field reporter Carson Graham reporting live on the ground from Cedars-Sinai Orthopedic Center. Vibes are great. Vibes are high. Let's make some great stuff. And let's go, Mike. Why not? Let's have a day. Let's go, Mike.
He's talking as if he's been, what do they call it, embedded with the troops somewhere?
Yeah.
Reporting live from Cedars-Sinai in LA.
But that's what college football
yes,
does.
Yes, it is.
Is there anything in your life that you love so much that you're like, you know what? I'm going to go find this person that has no relation to me, that I have no knowledge of, really. Mm-hmm. Just go give him a gift because they helped my favorite quarterback. Like, they did the surgery.
I'm going to buy him a gift. I sure as hell hope that he actually is just a Sooners fan that lived in L.A.
Because he didn't travel to L.A.
Because if he also traveled to L.A., then, well, we know we have a real problem. But, dude, that's college football. That's college football fans.
And to take this a step further, which I didn't think would happen, the Oklahoma Attorney General got involved here. He issued an official commendation for Dr. Shin for, quote, single-handedly saving John Mateer's season.
Come on.
A commendation. Well,
he's grandstanding, that one.
But that's...
Nevertheless.
But that's what it looks like. Yeah. Like, the Oklahoma Sooners are so integral mm-hmm. to the universe, to the state of Oklahoma's being. You got dudes maybe hopping on a flight, or maybe they just live in L.A., mm-hmm. tracking down the location of the doctor to go give him a gift. You got people getting on Yelp and Google Google reviews mm-hmm. and leaving 5-star reviews. You've got people creating all sorts of memes with the doctor. And you've got the attorney general of the state
yeah.
deciding, you know what? Sending a commendation to you for doing your job in doing surgery on this man's hand.
What if it doesn't take? What if he has a setback? Like, he's like...
oh, yeah.
Like Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, my arm! All of a sudden, he starts...
What happens when it goes the entire opposite way?
What if it goes bad? They know where he is now.
Oh, yeah. They've been... Yeah. John Mateer better go out, get back out here. He better not say that he has any level of pain or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, I just can't feel like I'm ready to throw yet. Oh, no. Poor doctor. What's his name?
Dr. Shin. Yeah. So, just a reminder, college football, man. And to that end, I did go when I was looking up just because it reminded me. I was like, what are some of the wild things that we've had, like stories of college football? You'll remember this with, well, maybe you won't, mm-hmm. When Johnny Manziel was at A&M, obviously was.
I do remember that.
We had, well, yes, that, of course, the songs and stuff that were made. Do you remember that? In honor of A&M's 2013 Cotton Bowl appearance, mm-hmm. there was a San Antonio pizza joint that created a 62-inch pizza in honor of Johnny Football.
I actually do not.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, 62 inches of pepperoni and cheese pizza just because Manziel.
Just because, well, that's a good reason. Just say Johnny Manziel. Done. Good reason.
No, college football. That's
college
why.
Football.
Johnny Manziel was good at football. But the things that we did, again, are deeply, deeply mm-hmm. college football. All right, and one more thing that I'll leave you with. This was kind of making the rounds, and I know that Liam Cohen has already responded. They will be facing off the Jaguars against the San Francisco 49ers this week. So Liam Cohen is the offensive play caller, even though he's the head coach, is going to be directly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Opposite the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. And of course his name leaves me as soon as I'm about to say it. Please help me out. Robert Saleh. Jesus.
Oh, I was just thinking about what Liam Cohen said. But yeah, Robert Saleh. Go ahead, because this is a bizarre one for me.
Robert Saleh, and obviously coordinators talking the week before the game happens. Listen to what he says about Liam Cohen and what this offense does. This is part one.
You know, Liam and his staff, coming from a couple of guys coming from Minnesota, you know, they've got a really advanced signal stealing type system where they always find a way to put themselves in an advantageous situation. They do a great job with it. They formation you to try to find any nugget they can. So we've got to be great with our signals, and we got to be great with our communication, and to combat some of the tells that we might give on the field. So they're almost elite in that regard. That whole entire tree, from Sean to Kevin O'Connell to all those guys, they all do it. So you know, so there's challenges. They're going to catch us in some situations where they have the advantage, and we just got to play good, sound, fundamental football and do our best to execute them.
This was really strange to me, like really, really strange, because first of all, when you say legal sign stealing, that's kind of an oxymoron, because sign stealing means stealing.
Well, I mean, baseball has legal sign stealing.
But that's more gamesmanship. It's still...
I think that's what he's talking about here.
But no, he's trying to send a message here, because he also throws O'Connell and the Niners, all the other coaches under the bus as well.
Kevin O'Connell, Liam Cohen, Sean McVay.
Sean McVay is who I was thinking of. So when you say legal sign stealing, just saying that, the connotation is something is amiss here. You know, it's one thing to say scouting. They have a very advanced scouting department that can figure out what you're doing. But when you say sign stealing, that is definitely trying to send a message.
I don't know that, because again, he went further to like, it's legal, but you know, getting a feel for what their signs are so that they have an idea of what the call is and that they're best prepared. In fact, that was kind of Liam Cohen took an approach of, I'm not talking about that, but you know, you do what you can. You put a lot of hard work in to get yourself prepared to put the right, your guys in the right circumstances. I didn't think this was a big deal. I think because of the particular words, sign stealing,
yeah,
it raises people's ears, especially because obviously when you talk about the Astros, but baseball in general, sign stealing is such a thing. I think that this is inherent. Like you're going to see if you can figure out, hey, what's that call?
Yeah.
What does that mean? So that maybe that gives me a leg up when I go up against you. I just found it interesting because he didn't make a big deal. Liam Cohen didn't seem to make it a big deal, but it really caught all of our ears on the outside looking in. I'm gonna be on the lookout though, because you're right. Like there's a couple of people that Salah's played against a lot or coached against a lot that makes me go, is there anything to this? I don't think it is, but
yeah.
I found it to be interesting to see that.
No, maybe it's just a bad choice of words, but you know, just using the word stealing immediately, you know, and I've seen some stories here today that, you know, other coordinators are sort of questioning why he would do that, et cetera. But I mean, you know, now they're playing, so we'll see.
Yeah, but I know some people jumped up and were like, all right, so all these coaches, these good coaches, apparently doing sign stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Kaylee, you stealing any signs, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. All right, you're in the loop here.
He's been where associated.
Yeah, you would imagine. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. The mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday on Sports Radio 610, usually helmed by one Figgy Fig. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. Today is Bijani and B. Scott. But before we do that, we got to draft the weekend. We will do that next. Yeah, it's been a fun football Friday to this point. It does feel though weird. Every time I've tried to come with a little positivity about this Texans team, I realize, better not embarrass me. Like, there's more trepidation than
there's apprehension in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a good word. There's a lot of apprehension. I believe them capable of winning this football game, and even still. Like, they've ruined that level of excitement for me.
Well,
so win me back, man.
I'll put it this way. I'm very confident they're going to win this game. I'm just not so sure how I'm going to feel about it. Which is the most bizarre thing, because usually you say, my team wins, I'm feeling pretty good. This team wins, I don't know how the hell I'm going to feel.
Fair enough.
Because it depends on what they look like, offensively.
Hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, mind you, is presented by Paramount Plus. Remember that you can get with the Paramount Plus and watch NFL on CBS on Sundays with Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, here in a little bit, we'll crosstalk with the fellas of the drive. Today is Bijani and B. Scott. They're out at Pop Stroke in Katy, where I will be very soon, as soon as I can get out there, to grab my commemorative Area 45 glass and hang out with the fellas for their Football Friday out there. So please join them. Enjoy it. Get yourself something to drink. Enjoy the Tiger Woods design course, all of that, so on and so forth. But right now we got to draft the weekend, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really interesting weekend.
Mine has changed over the course of the first hour of our show.
Okay. I will give you first pick then so that you can go ahead and get into that.
Because, and we're eliminating the Texans.
Right, of course. That is obviously a game of intrigue. Although for the first time in probably the entirety of the time that we've drafted the weekend, it feels like Texans, Titans would not easily be the number one. Usually it's like this is easily the number one pick.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a game that's a little bit off, but where you go, I'm still watching the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a number of people who are like, yeah, I'd much rather watch a few of these college football games,
yes,
maybe some baseball before I get to Texans, Titans, which, funny enough, I think Vic Tafur of The Athletic called it the game of the week.
Yeah.
The battle of the 0-3 is the game of the week.
Game of the week because of repercussions. But my number one pick is going to be college football. It's going to be the second TV that I have on because the first TV is going to be on another game with maroon and white colors. But if I had to draft the weekend on the one that I'm really watching, simultaneous, Oregon and Penn State, man. We talked about it during our college football theme segment at 12:40. Like, this James Franklin, man. I mean, it's got to, if it doesn't happen now, it's one of those questions. When is it? This is probably the best team he's had. It's at home. It's wide out. It's night game. You gonna do it or not?
No, for sure. Yeah. Right. Like this is time to put it on the table for James Franklin to try and counteract the narratives that easily exist about you not being a big game coach.
Yeah.
Now's the time to do it against Dan Lanning's Oregon. I am also going college football first here. And I will go to a game that I know will deliver in one way or another. Plus, there's like the college football stories of it underneath. We talked about it a little earlier. Give me number four, LSU, going to face off against Ole Miss. I know Lane Kiffin will give me an offense that is worth watching. Nussmeier's been fun to watch as well. And then there's the fun. I imagine we get some shot of Landry Kiffin. And, you know, some level of discussion of that story.
Well, there's got to be,
that's
right?
That's 2:30 on ABC. So, yeah, that one I definitely want to see.
My second pick, I can't quite decide because I don't know if I want to rubberneck and watch Packers at Cowboys.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Or, you know what? I'm going to say Packers and Cowboys because I was thinking another one in the afternoon time slot, but I'm going to go Packers and Cowboys.
You're going to have an opportunity to get it. I'm going off to Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
Tonight, give me Detroit at Boston. Tigers at Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Astros, they need to do their due diligence with the Angels. Yeah. But you also need help, right? Mm-hmm. You need to go two games better of the team that is ahead of you, at least right now, wild card wise. I know that the Tigers and Guardians are technically tied, but the Tigers have been, they just ended an 8-game losing streak. And I don't think that they are good. I think they just eventually needed to win a game. I want to see if Alex Bregman can help the Astros one last time, right? Can the Red Sox
Bregman, baby,
beat the Tigers?
Yeah.
Obviously Friday, but I need you to win probably two or three of these games to give the Astros a good chance of getting into the playoffs, because this is the last ditch attempt that they have. So I'll actually be watching more rather than picking the Astros game straight up. Give me Tigers, Red Sox to see if on the other side the help comes for the Astros.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And I mentioned earlier one of my picks changed. My third pick has changed because I'm so mad right now at Team USA in the Ryder Cup. That was going to be my other pick.
Ah, yeah. Oh,
they got their ass kicked this morning.
And this is the home course, right? In New York. You thought that the excitement of the fans was going to carry.
Yes, and Bryson DeChambeau driving the first green on the first hole, and then they lose 3-1. There's more game. There's more matches this afternoon, and they could still come back. But I'm going to go ahead and change my pick. I am going to go with Alabama, Georgia. Again, kind of just the intrigue of it all, the puckering, as we called it, among other things earlier. Alabama, Georgia is going
to
be fun.
All right, I will finish off. Oh, there's two games that I really like in the NFL slate that I want to get to, actually. I'll finish off by picking. Let me get Philadelphia at Tampa. Tampa looks like a much better team than I was giving them credit for coming into the season. I was still looking at them as the team that was just winning in NFC South because the NFC South was bad. They've handled up very well. And going up against the Philadelphia team that, you know, being called boring but is continuing to get it done, I think there's some fun things. How much further can Baker continue to draw this? Do we see the Desmond Watson tush push, attempt at stopping this? I think there's some interesting things that are happening with this.
How about no Ravens Chiefs?
Yeah, yeah.
You want
that's
a fun
fair.
Fact, by the way?
Please.
If the Texans win, they're going to have the exact same record as either the Ravens or the Chiefs.
That is true.
Isn't that something?
That is true.
Because they're both 1-2 going into that
football
game.
Is hilarious. You think you know something, and within a few years, the teams that you thought were absolutely at a certain level are different. Now, I don't think that's changed entirely. I think the Ravens are just really bad at defense right this moment, especially with dealing with some injuries. And then the Chiefs also. They just need to get some speed back offensively, but we'll see how that goes. All right, that's the weekend that we have drafted. Let us know if there's anything else that you're intrigued with on the weekend. As we make our way out to Katy, it is Pop Stroke, not whatever else I have called it during our broadcast, where we join our guys, Sean Bajani and Brandon Scott, filling in for the fellas of the drive. Fellas, what's it looking like out there?
Well, hello, good people.
Howdy.
It's looking like the best weather day of the month. That's what it's looking like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful out here, man. Palm trees. Just a really good atmosphere. It's a good time to be outside, to be honest with you, man. So, like, normally you think about outside remotes. You're like, oh, man, are we going to bake in the sun? Man, it is beautiful out here. Y'all come check us out.
Very good. All right, Dean Emil Auto Leasing giving us the opportunity to talk with you fellas, but you guys have a lot of things to give away. It's not just your pretty faces. What all are we giving away today, fellas?
Well, I do believe that we possibly could be giving away some tickets to a major sporting event coming up in the city of Houston.
And you can't forget about the mugs with y'all's faces on them. Like, that's the big thing, right?
We're giving away Area 45 mugs with our mugs, a.k.a. asses, on the glasses.
Whoa!
So that'll be very fun times.
Because you can't tell the difference. That's the joke.
No, and here's the thing. If you come out and get a glass and say, you're not ass, I will buy you a beer.
Whoa!
All right.
Hey, yo!
Right, beers on Bajani.
Yeah. How about that?
Look at that. Yeah. That's even more than I anticipated. So, yeah, you want to get out and see these fine fellas. I want to ask you guys the question of the day, because it was based off of Fromberg getting out here and doing the thing that we thought was just going to be a joke. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. He did it. He also cut off the locks. We don't have to talk about that if y'all don't want to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.